This is possible only by self-realization. A self-realized person who has actually seen the truth should retire from all material activities being situated in self-realization. Purport. By an analytical study of the entire constitution of the body, one can surely come to the conclusion that the soul is different from all the body's material constituents, such as earth, water, fire, and air. Thus, the difference between the body and soul can be realized by a person who is thoughtful, Manishi or Muni. And after this realization of the individual spirit soul, one can very easily understand the supreme spirit soul. If one thus realizes that the individual soul is subordinate to the supreme spirit soul, he achieves self-realization. As explained in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are two souls within the body. The body is called Chetra, and there are two Chetragyas, or occupants of the body, namely the super soul, Paramatma, and the individual soul, called Atma. The super soul and the individual soul are like two birds sitting on the same tree, the material body. One bird, the individual, forgetful bird, is eating the fruits of the tree, not caring for the instructions of the other bird, which is only a witness to the activities of the first bird. Who is his friend? When the forgetful bird comes to understand the supreme friend, who is always with him and trying to give him guidance in different bodies, he takes shelter at the lotus feet of that supreme bird, as explained in the yoga process. Jnanavastitatatgatena manasa pashyanti yang yoginaha. When one actually becomes a perfect yogi, by meditation he can see the supreme friend and surrender unto him. This is the beginning of bhakti yoga, or actual life in Krishna consciousness. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. El Atmanu Bhuto Tang Mayam Yuhuyat Sadyadrin Munihi Tato Niriho Viramet Svanu Bhut Yat Manistita. Translation: a learned, thoughtful person must realize that material existence is illusion. This is possible only by self-realization. Vielleicht kannst du das in eine andere Richtung schießen, diese Fremdlebewesen, die da durch deine Atem die Welt bevölkern wollen. A self-realized person who has actually seen the truth should retire from all material activities being situated in self-realization. This verse is actually a nice verse for ending a festival. It is said here that the self-realized, learned, thoughtful person must understand that material existence is illusion and retire from all material activities. In Krishna consciousness, we also think about this deeply. A Krishna-conscious devotee cannot be satisfied unless and until his service goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any umweg, any diversion. That's important. Now let us just see, we have a guest here, not a guest. Muck, verstehst du eigentlich Englisch? So ein bisschen. Die Idee ist da. Ist da überhaupt noch jemand? Oh, hier kommen gerade die beiden Kinder. Ihr versteht ja auch kein Englisch, oder? Nicht besonders gut. Ja. Ist hier noch jemand, der kein Englisch versteht? Ja. Du verstehst auch nicht richtig. Wir haben doch so talentierte Kräfte hier. Deine Stimme ist ja weg. Gerada, ich glaube, du musst dich surrendern. Vom Englischen ins Deutsche geht das nicht? Das? Achso, deine ist auch nicht so ganz manifest. Ja, wir haben aber keinen besseren hier. Okay. Ich weiß, wie das ist. No, das ist nicht.
Is described as seeing something in a way which is not actual. For instance, a good example of illusion is when you are in the desert and there is a tree at the horizon, a dried up tree, and you think that this is a person who might be able to show you the way out of the desert. So you run towards that so-called person. That's called an illusion. You think a tree to be a person. In a similar way, in the desert of material existence, the conditioned soul wants to take shelter in material activities. He wants to be satisfied in that. That is called an illusion. It is not possible. The example which is given in the Bhagavatam is the example of King Puranjana. Actually, it is a quite interesting story, and you will be fascinated to hear. This is my last day, so to say, here on the farm, and we will go this morning to Subotica, which is a town just near the Hungarian border in the in Serbia, actually, and we will hold a lecture tour for 1 month, every night a lecture, not every, but almost every night a lecture to a public audience. And I have, of course, thought what to present to them. And I will tell the story of Puranjana to them so that they can understand something about their own life from this. There will be also other topics which will be discussed, but that is one thing. If you know a story, Prabhupada said, that's very good, you will capture their attention. So I will start with a story so that everyone is fascinated, and then try to bring other points in Krishna consciousness. So Puranjana's story is quite interesting, and I won't go through all the details because most of you know them, but just focus on a few. Puranjana is a king who looks for a queen. He travels all over the planet Earth until he comes to a beautiful garden. Now at this time, whilst he is traveling, there is a friend with him who has introduced himself to him by saying, I'm the unknown. So this friend always gives good advices. And when he is going to... So he comes to... Puranjana comes to the garden and sees a beautiful lady who is accompanied by servants and by a snake with five heads. So this is very unusual, to see a lady accompanied by a snake with five heads. So I heard it like this, that at that time the unknown friend is all of a sudden there and says, be careful, don't entangle yourself. But Puranjana, of course, doesn't want to hear, and as a result, we know he gets married to the queen and lives a rather materialistic life until finally the soldiers of time come and destroy his dream paradise, and he is forced to leave the city which he considered to be his home. So also there the unknown friend appears again and says, you should just follow me, you should hear my discussion, why have you forgotten? And he becomes somewhat interested, and therefore as a result takes a new life which is very good for Krishna consciousness. So it's an analogy which is presented in the pages of the Bhagavatam, the analogy of the forgetful living entity who enters into the material world and becomes married with the material intelligence which is compared to a beautiful queen. And he becomes so fascinated by his newfound queen that he becomes a slave. It is described, when the queen laughed, Puranjana laughed. When the queen cried, Puranjana cried. When the queen drank, Puranjana drank. And when the queen laid down, Puranjana laid down. It describes how a person on the mental platform is actually following exactly the dictates of his mind and senses and material intelligence. So Puranjana, in his forgetfulness, becomes completely entangled in material life, and as we said, and at the end is forced to leave the body which is decaying by the onslaught of time. Den Körper zu verlassen, der durch den Angriff der Zeit verfallen ist. He's forced to do so. And he follows the unknown friend. So this is such a wonderful subject matter for meditation. Just consider yourself. You are that Puranjana living in a material body, and you are married to your queen. The materialistic intelligence which makes plan to enjoy material life. However, it is not a glorious situation. Time is constantly attacking you. But there is a friend, the unknown friend. If you just would listen to him, you could flee from this terrible situation. Imagine there really is a friend who has gone with you through night and days, deserts and lush countrysides, oceans and mountains. He has gone with you when you dived into the ocean and took a form of an exotic fish diving or swimming near the rifts of the corals. That friend was with you when you raced in the air on the wing, on your wings, and flew kilometers above the earth. That friend even went with you when you were a pig and ate horrible substances, and he always was ready to fulfill your desires. But he was waiting. Waiting for the time when you were turning towards him. So during this life, somehow you could hear this voice of the super soul. You could respond to the guidance of the super soul and therefore have come in this movement of Krishna consciousness. Now the super soul has made an arrangement for you. The arrangement is very easy. It is the stop birth and death arrangement. He has manifest. He works together with the spiritual master in order to bring you back home, back to Godhead, by giving very detailed instructions through the spiritual master. So, because all of us here are devotees, I wanted to read today something about the initiation, what it means, and I have a wonderful book here from which I'm going to read. It's called Visvila Prabhupada in the Early Days, and is an account of what happened in the what happened during one of the first initiations. I will just bring you, so to say, in the contents of this. It's the first devotee, Keith, Bruce, Chuck, and Keith. Attempting to get money for the temple, Keith had gone to the welfare department and asked for money. Someone there had asked him, "Who told you to come here?" When he had replied, "God told me," they thought he was insane. They had not asked him to explain himself further, but told him to go to Bellevue Hospital to get psychoanalytical clearance to prove he was mentally stable. The welfare office then called the hospital to forewarn the staff, die Belegschaft, that a man was coming who claimed he could talk to God. When Keith arrived, they put him into an observation ward and detained him. He had therefore missed the first initiation. Like the others, he had bought large red beads and strung them with a knot between each bead, as Prabhupada has shown us. I had sewn an old cut-up green shirt into a bead bag. You know, green bead bag from an old shirt. But when Prabhupada saw it, he said, "Get a proper bag." There were, however, no other bead bags around at that time. On the evening of the second initiation here means that there was first an initiation ceremony and a little later a second initiation ceremony. It doesn't mean the Brahmin initiation ceremony. Keith put on an Indian dhoti on that evening, which was the first time any of us had done that. It was made of yellow cloth, and after Prabhupada helped him put it on, he told Keith he looked like a Hindu brahmachari. Imagine. So this was the scene. Most of them were not. He was the only one in dhoti, it appeared. Before the ceremony, I expressed some of my doubts to Keith. To understand personalism was very hard. With faith, Keith recited to me a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. "All truths are resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread." See, Satsvarup Maharaj humbly explains that he used to be an impersonalist, and now taking initiation by a Vaishnava guru into the personal worship of Krishna, it was a little heavy for him. So he had to be, his faith had to be restored. And when he heard this verse, "All truths are resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread," hearing this, I took encouragement. At the initiation ceremony, Prabhupada chanted on our beads. At that time, Prabhupada chanted right on the fire, the round. These initiation ceremonies took a few hours. Prabhupada went, first of all, he had to chant everyone's beads at the fire. It's actually a very nice practice. If we can maybe do it, we have to find a pujari who is willing to sit down for such a long time. It's much nicer than when chants together the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's much better, actually. We handed him our beads and he chanted a full round while we watched him. And then he handed the beads back to us and said, "Bow down." When my turn came, I bowed down before him and then heard him say, "Repeat after me." One word at a time, he recited a prayer that began Nama. I repeated the word Nama, and then he said Om, and I repeated until I had recited the whole prayer, which was later translated. I offer my obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who is very dear to Lord Krishna on this earth, having taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Transcendental Lord. When I recited word by word the Sanskrit to this prayer, my eyes were closed, and I plunged into feelings of devotion and sincere surrender. I experienced an intense feeling that I was entering eternal life. He gave me my name, Satsvarup Das. In a lecture that night, he described the significance of our initiation. So please, everyone hear this. This is now the significance of the initiation. Lord Chaitanya, I'm reading the Prabhupada's lecture. Lord Chaitanya asked his disciple Rupa Goswami to go to Vrindavan and preach and sustain his mission. This is disciplic succession. Not that one thinks, "I have understood from my spiritual master, now let me sit tight." That is also nice, but Lord Chaitanya's mission is to spread the teaching. It is your duty. When a disciple receives instruction from the spiritual master, he has an obligation to the spiritual master to preach. After being instructed, the disciple will offer, "My dear master, what can I do for you? I am indebted to you for the knowledge you have given me. Therefore, I must serve you." When I heard this, I was completely astounded. I hadn't yet realized what a complete commitment I had made. Commitment means eine Verpflichtung, die man eingeht. Present at the second initiation ceremony was Bruce's mother. She sat on a folding chair in the corner of the room. After the ceremony in which Prabhupada had given Bruce the name Brahmananda, Prabhupada said to him, "Now offer your obeisances to your mother." Srinivas, you are sleeping. This is not good. Maybe you should rise. You look very tired after all this. Just to be sure, I'm not sure if you understood, if you were awake for this part, and I want to repeat it because it has to stick to your brain. Prabhupada is explaining the significance of the initiation ceremony. He said, "A disciple will offer, 'My dear master, what can I do for you? I am indebted to you for the knowledge you have given me. Therefore, I must serve you.'" This is how Prabhupada explained. So now, Prabhupada said to Brahmananda, "Now offer your obeisances to your mother." He bowed before her and she seemed embarrassed. Later Prabhupada spoke with her in his room before the rest of us. Prabhupada gave the name Kirtananda for Keith and Achyutananda for Chuck. He didn't comment on the spiritual significance of my Sanskrit name that night, but a few days later when I was in his room I asked, "Swamiji, what does my name mean?" He said, "The inner truth of reality." Later during Kartik, We were burning candles on his coffee table. Not that Prabhupada drank coffee, but he had a table which was a coffee table. I came in late. Everyone was already gathered, burning his candle. When I entered the room, Prabhupada said, "Oh, here comes the truth personified." At my initiation, Prabhupada told me to chant 25 rounds, but shortly afterwards, he reduced the number to 16. After my initiation, I faithfully executed Prabhupada's order to chant 16 rounds a day. Prabhupada also gave me some new duties, new service. One of my minor duties was to regularly change the white letters in the sign posted in the front window, which announced the topics of Prabhupada's talks. He would give me the name of a topic on a small piece of paper. I would change these topics a couple of times a week. One day, shortly after initiation, I shaved my head with the help of another devotee. We went to Prabhupada and showed him our heads. How personal. He smiled warmly and said, "Thank you very much." That was significant to me. He thanked us. I felt I had done it for Prabhupada. I asked Prabhupada, "Should I wear tilak to work?" See, at that time, Satswarup Maharaj was working in the social welfare department of the Lower East Side in New York. He said, "Yes." So I showed up at work, my head shaven with shika and tilak. This caused quite a stir, an aufregung. And sure enough, the boss called me into his office and said, "What is this?" I replied to my boss, "It's my religion." "I don't think you should do this," he said. But I was persistent. "I have to do it." And he accepted because New York City was cosmopolitan. One is supposed to be liberal towards the poor, to Ricans, the blacks, the Jews, and everybody. My boss couldn't be prejudiced. Sisi Radha Madana Monaki. Jai. My boss couldn't be prejudiced, although he really didn't like that I was a devotee, so he had to accept me. Rupanuga also worked in the Department of Welfare, and his boss called him in one day for wearing tilak and carrying beads. His boss told him to stop, but he said, "No, this is my religion. There's another Krishna conscious devotee like me working in the Lower East Side branch." The boss didn't just accept Rupanuga's word, however. He called the branch where I was working. The supervisor told him, "Yes, we've got one of them here too." So Rupanuga's boss had to accept him. I used to follow Prabhupada around as much as possible. For a while, I carried the collection basket up to his room after his evening lecture. See, at that time the devotees had very little Lakshmi even to maintain the storefront preaching apartment, and Prabhupada had an idea. He put a little basket so that everyone who came to the lecture could give a voluntary donation to help support the rent of the apartment and other expenses. So for a while I carried the collection basket up to his room after his evening lecture. One time I counted the money in front of him, which amounted to about $5, and placed it beside him. Prabhupada folded his palms before the money and bowed his hand in his head. He then looked at me and explained, "Money is the goddess Lakshmi." One night after the lecture, while walking behind him from the temple to the courtyard, I noticed there was a brilliant full moon surrounded by a white aura. I was attracted by this sight and praised the evening moon. Prabhupada then also looked at the moon and then at me with a slight distaste. I interpreted that to mean my attraction to the moon was inferior and especially inappropriate immediately after hearing Prabhupada's lecture in Kirtan.
He wanted us to see the beauty of nature only in connection with Krishna. The moon, as beautiful as it may be, was just an insignificant planet in the material universe. When was I going to cast my longing vision upon the planet of Krishna? So, I thought reading this to all of us, to make this point. It's coming in a minute. I have to think a little. See, we have heard a verse today. Atma Bhuto Tang Mayam. We have probably not heard it very carefully, and most of us don't really remember what it said, because we are tired, and after all, our minds have become accustomed to hear philosophy. So let us hear it again, and then hear how it relates to what we have just spoken about. A learned, thoughtful person must realize that material existence is illusion. This is possible only by self-realization. A self-realized person who has actually seen the truth should retire from all material activities, being situated in self-realization. Initiation is a beginning step of self-realization. It means for us a new life. We are no longer so-and-so, but we are Krishna Das, the eternal servant of Krishna. And after initiation, there is actually a certain power, a certain Shakti, which can help us change our life. Like you see here, Satsvarup Das Goswami, he shaves his head, a thing which at that time was a very bold activity. No one was daring to shave his head. See here, when you come now in the movement for Krishna consciousness, you see already many devotees who are shaved head, and one understands, well, if I come, I will be shaved up. This is already understood, that you know in the beginning. So, at that time, it was something very bold. Do you remember when you how you felt when you shaved up your hair the first time? I mean, I felt like a new life, you know, like a baby I felt. I remember I had very long hair, and you know, for me it was like goodbye to an old life. I felt like, okay, this is serious now. Yes, now I'm no longer a kami, I'm a devotee. And I remember after initiation, that same feeling was there. In fact, after the last initiation, that was the sannyas initiation, I felt all alone in this world of matter. A door had closed, a door to my previous life. So it was a new beginning. So this is a good feeling. This is wanted. Let us not forget, we are on a path back home, back to Godhead. This path sometimes gets covered when we become negligent. Negligent means nachlässig, in our execution of Krishna consciousness. If our enthusiasm dwindles and lethargy comes in, that path becomes covered with grass and it's no longer visible so strongly. But nevertheless, it is there, a path which will bring us to the Goloka Vrindavan. There is also the mercy at our hand, just before us. We only need to take it, to give up material activities, and once and for all, and to surrender to Krishna completely. Any devotee who wants to realize this should go out on Sankirtan, because he will not meet the Kamis on the Sankirtan, but he will meet Krishna on Sankirtan by understanding Krishna's wonderful arrangements. Even devotees
I know of devotees who were highly afraid of Sankirtan and who went out after 1 week, wrote glowing letters of appreciation. Wow, so nice. It helped me so much. Horrible and everything. Why were they so enthused? Because they had experienced Krishna through the path of surrender to his lotus feet. So this we can do in all our branches. This we can do when we sew clothes for the deities, when we make giviks. I'm just seeing two devotees doing this. This we can do when we do our puja at the altar, or when we cook for the Supreme Lord, wonderful prasadam preparations. We should not stop to surrender. We should be a little bit bold and understand there is a potency there which is given to me. Let us turn to our unknown friend who we have unfortunately neglected for so long. Let us turn to Krishna who is there within the heart, waiting for a sign of surrender. That's what the spiritual master looks for. Like when Shaswarup shaved his head and came to Prabhupada to show him his head. How sympathetic. Show Prabhupada his head. Thinking of Prabhupada looking at him and saying, thank you very much. Prabhupada was happy that his disciple had shown a sign of surrender. So let us also now show our surrender. Now means every day until the rest of our life. That is at the beginning like a walking practice. We may not be very expert in it, just like a little child who starts to walk. But by a little practice of this principle, we will become expert and very enlivened. To give just a... anyways, I won't give this example. So I'm thanking you very, very much for listening patiently to these subjects. Do you have any questions regarding this? She's here, Amaraji. Yes. Shishira says that after the initiation one is very thankful to his spiritual master and wants to show his gratefulness by helping or supporting him in his mission. At the other hand, however, it is said that someone who tries to pay back the spiritual master is a fool because he can't do that. Now, there is no contradiction in this. One is always a fool before his spiritual master. In fact, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, he said that his spiritual master considered him a great fool, and therefore he said to him, chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you will attain all perfection. He said like this. Even this. So it is never possible to be anything else than just a humble servant who is a little foolish before the spiritual master. That's one point. However, even a fool like we all are can serve the spiritual master and obtain his gratefulness. That's obtain his mercy. Why so? Because the spiritual master is very merciful. He will
accept our little attempt to serve him. Even if this attempt is full with mistakes and full with maybe material motivations even, still the spiritual master will accept what we do, whatever little. He will say, thank you very much, like Prabhupada, who was satisfied when his disciple showed him his head. That's his mercy. Of course, you should never think, if the spiritual master has said, thank you very much, that means I have stopped being a fool. I'm on an equal level. At least I'm on the level of a friend, if not even more. So after all, I'm, you know, good disciple, and of course, and so on. This is wrong. If you think you can repay back the spiritual master, that is not right. This is wrong. Good. Very well. Yeah, I can understand this. It's a big question. How can we distinguish between material and spiritual intelligence? First of all, let us understand that it is only by intelligence that you can distinguish anything. If someone has no intelligence, even seeing for him is not possible. My mind will only register just shapes in space. Only if there's intelligence I would think, oh, this is Willibor. Oh, this is Srinivas, he sleeps. Not now, but before. This is Kavalyapati. This is Lalita. This is Nalini. See, the shapes in space can be distinguished or captured, separated from other shapes and forms and colors by the help of intelligence. Intelligence helps you to recognize an object. This is stated by Lord Kapiladev. So you want to now recognize what is material intelligence and what is spiritual intelligence. How are you going to do this? You can only do this if your intelligence is aided by knowledge, which you obtain from the scriptures and from spiritual master, and also from experience in devotional service. With this, you can distinguish what is material intelligence and spiritual intelligence. Now, let us look at the question, what are the symptoms of material and spiritual intelligence? The material intelligence is bought out. It's bought. It's gekauft. It's not independent. It is bought out to the mind and the senses as a contract. It's under contract, or it's chained up, and it will make plans for your material enjoyment. The spiritual intelligence is free. Usually, it's avritam, avritam jnanam etina. It says the pure knowledge of the living entity is covered by his enemy lust. But still, it can be strengthened, the spiritual intelligence, and when it is strengthened by chanting, by hearing knowledge, and by understanding the instructions of one's spiritual master, then that spiritual intelligence will make plans for Krishna. Like now, you are, for instance, you are now in Italy, and you know it is important to do Sankirtan, so you will have to make
or you can surrender to Krishna more. This requires certain intelligence. If there is no intelligence, you can't even walk one step ahead in material life. So in spiritual life, you must work with your spiritual intelligence. This has nothing to do. Now, I want to make this point. When I made this point, I thought of Bhakta Saleh, the very young Bhakta. Is he here? Yes. He has difficulties to concentrate. You know, there's a typical Bhakta, a nice young Bhakta, eating much and sleeping much. You know, it's typical, like they join in our movement. Wonderful souls. No philosophy, I have to hear it, I must read, but not that there is a special great attraction to this and so on. It's difficult to concentrate. Let's play, let's jump, let's do something. Spiritual intelligence is not dependent. I'm really sorry, but I have to do it. I'm seeing these devotees only a few times in the year. If I don't preach to them personally, they will never understand. So please, the others, forgive me. I have to service. Spiritual intelligence doesn't mean the amount of material information that you have gone to a good school and you have learned so many considerations, you've studied psychology and sociology and history of philosophy and this and that. No, this is called avidya, a burden only. An ass is someone who has engaged his material intelligence in so many factors. The example is given of the ass who carries a whole flower bush, a heavy flower bush. So he is an ass, why? Because only the honey is important in the flower bush. The bee is of a different sort. He just goes to all the flowers and takes the essence, the Blütenstaub, the dust of the flowers, and produces honey from it. So in the same way, a materialistic intelligent man has a big thorn bush on his back. That's how he moves. All anatta, unwanted information. This is not a sign of intelligence. Intelligence is to discriminate. Here is the material side and here is the spiritual side. Let me go to the spiritual side. Let me engage in Krishna consciousness. Make a plan like that. Everyone can be materially intelligent, spiritually intelligent, even, mostly it's those who have not gone to school in the material world are not considered very intelligent, but in Krishna consciousness they are considered very intelligent. They don't have all this earth information. Anyway. Hoffentlich sind die kleinen Kinder nicht mehr da, die müssen nämlich zur Schule. Ein Glück, sie sind nicht mehr da. Gut. But something has to be learned, of course. I'm just a runaway from school, so I'm fully convinced that it was the right activity. Good. Leader Center. Penetrate. Yes, it is. The filter of offenses. at the same time, something will stick. In the Padmapurana, it is explained that even if one chants with the offenses, the only remedy really is to continue chanting. In this connection, I want to tell you a little story about one brahmachari who lived maybe, he was a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he had a terrible disease. Whatever he would put in his for eating would immediately leave his body, immediately maybe after 10 minutes or so. His body could not hold any food, and therefore he starved and became more skinny, and everyone feared that he would soon die from this disease. A terrible disease. Even blood came. So many treatments were given, but as soon as the medicine went in, it went out already. It was so serious. So Schulterdev, das ist wichtig, noch zu verstehen. So then, one doctor gave one prescription. He said he must eat ghee. Now everyone who knows, if you have something with the digestion, something in this tract of the body, and you take ghee, it's absolutely poison. Because it's so hard to digest, actually, ghee, it is absolutely dangerous. When you have for this is a don't eat ghee, don't eat ghee, don't eat ghee, when this is there. So everyone thought, but no chance, I mean, they immediately leave him. And the doctor said, yes, that may be, but there will be some little coating in the intestines. You know what is coating? A kleine Beschichtung. A very thin coating will come. And, yes, like that. And he should just continue doing this, and then he should carefully start eating. Maybe, you know, I'm not a doctor, I can't say what happened, but after 2 weeks he was completely cured. So in the same way, when we read and chant, sometimes we have the opinion, everything just goes through. I think I could make a test and ask you, what is the verse we have read about this morning? Can you please remember, tell me what the verse is. And many will look with me with a friendly and ignorant smile. It was something to do with spiritual philosophy. Yes. But keep on going, Virachandra. The coating will become thicker and thicker, and finally you will be able to eat the feast of Krishna consciousness. It's a nice example, isn't it? It illustrates this point from the Padmapurana that we should, even when infected with offenses, should continue chanting so that it will go with offenses, and we will be able to hold the Krishna conscious philosophy. So I think we have come to a natural end. Hare Krishna.